Soul Recovery is not just this podcast. It is a community. And each month on the first Monday, we get together on Zoom to support each other. I give a topic, then we break into small groups. It's a powerful way to be seen and witnessed and heard and supported through your own soul recovery journey. This is free to attend and open to everyone. Go to the website to register. The next one is May 6th from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, in June on the 8th and 9th is an in-person soul recovery retreat in Lafayette, Colorado. This is going to be a weekend of incredible transformation, learning how to use soul recovery in your life and to leave that weekend transformed. Visit the website for more about what to expect and how to register. Enjoy the episode. In this episode of the Recover Your Soul podcast, I have an interview with Nina Pick. She's the author of a newly released book, The Mind-Body Guide to the 12 Steps, Integrative Spiritual and Somatic Practices for Healing from Trauma and Addiction. And what I loved about our conversation was that she's on this soul recovery, this healing journey, and she's been on it for a while. And she realized that in the 12 steps, she needed and wanted something that would go in deeper. And utilizing this somatic therapy and the concepts of understanding how we store our trauma within our bodies and how you can use the 12 steps to move deeper into your recovery, not just recovery from an addiction, but recovery in our lives around what we've been through, the traumas we've been through, and our desire to heal and to grow and to release. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Recover Your Soul podcast, a spiritual path to a happy and healthy life. My name is Reverend Rachel Harrison. I started Recover Your Soul after having profound changes in my life from my recovery of alcoholism, codependency, and control addiction. I was guided to share the tools and principles of spirituality and soul recovery to help others transform their lives as mine was transformed. For us to overcome external circumstances, we need to turn the attention to ourselves, focusing on our inner change and healing. Positive results in our lives will follow. Welcome back to Soul Recovery. I am Reverend Rachel Harrison, and I'm so excited to be here today with you on this soul recovery journey. And I'm really excited because on this episode, I have Nina Pick with me, and she just launched. She was just saying she just birthed this baby of this new book, and it's called The Mind-Body Guide to the 12 Steps, Finding Joy, Sensuality, and Pleasure in Recovery. Welcome to the show, Nina.
Thank you so much. So great to meet you and really glad to be here.
I resonated so much immediately in this book because we're both in recovery from alcoholism and we have Al-Anon in our system as well. Tell me a little bit more about what brought you to want to speak about recovery in the 12 steps in this new way that is around somatic practices.
Yeah. So having been in recovery myself since 2009, and in various fellowships, I over the years started to feel like something more and more was missing from my experience in conventional 12-step recovery. What was missing for me was really this aspect around embodiment, also a real like understanding of trauma and how trauma informs our patterns and our addictions. So as I started kind of exploring my own healing and bringing embodiment practices into my recovery, I started to more and more feel like this is something I wanted to share and to be able to offer to other people.
I love that because I think 12-step is so powerful. And for a lot of us, there needs to be that next level up. We're having had a spiritual awakening. Now we're interested in more depth in what that is. What brought you to the somatic piece of it? Because it's something I'm super interested in and I can't wait for you to talk more about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of kind of the main hallmarks of trauma is that we leave our bodies, right? That our experience in our bodies is one of fear, is one of lack of safety, is one of pain, one of violation. And so that we learn the body is not a safe home. And so we kind of go whoop, up and out and leave our embodiment behind. And with that, we lose our connection to the earth. We lose our connection to our ancestors. We lose our connection to our like inherent inner wisdom and also to spirit. So in the conventional 12-step path for me, what was kind of missing in all of the talking about the steps and the reading of 12-step literature and the writing, doing the workbooks and the journaling were practices that help actually heal the underlying trauma. I feel like I was learning a lot of really great coping skills and tools and behaviors that were much, much healthier. But it wasn't by itself enough to fully do the healing work, like the trauma healing that allows for this like soul recovery that you speak of as well. But the really somatics, like at its essence, is about restoring a sense of safety and connection in the body and looking at the trauma, the imprints that are held in our body and mind and nervous system, and the impacts of that on our capacity to connect to ourselves, to others, and to spirit. So I think it's a really important missing ingredient in terms of a more holistic, more integrated sense of healing for those of us who are on the 12-step path.
Absolutely. I didn't even realize how much energy was held in my body until I started to stop numbing out, first of all. But even after I had quit drinking, it was so interesting to start looking at it in a new way around what's happening for me right now, what's up for me right now. And the more that I learned that there was everything from the past trailing underneath there, waiting to be expressed, that I started opening up doors and started doing that trauma healing. I'd love to hear more about what you know about us keeping stuff in our bodies and the trauma in our bodies.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I talk about in a bit about this in the book that, you know, with traumatic experiences, with chronic stress, they leave an imprint in our bodies, in our tissues, in the ways that our brains develop and our brains function, and in the tendencies of our nervous system, right? And all of these are geared towards survival, right? They're meant to keep us safe. You know, with traumatic experience, with chronic stress, we tend to be oriented towards either real or perceived threats. We can walk through the world in a kind of constant state of hypervigilance, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And Stephen Porges, who is the kind of founder, the discoverer of polyvagal theory, which is a really major contribution towards the understanding of the autonomic nervous system, he has a term that he coined called neuroception. And it's a really, really important term for understanding how trauma functions and for understanding our own and other people's behavior. And essentially, neuroception is the inner perception of safety. And so for those of us who are carrying trauma or the imprints of chronic stress, our neuroception, our inner perception, is geared towards threat. So we're very attuned towards the potential towards threat in the environment. And we may even see threat where there actually maybe objectively isn't any. So there's a kind of feedback loop that's created where our inner sense of lack of safety then feeds into perceiving a lack of safety in the outside, which then goes hooks back internally, and we feel even less safe. And then you have a kind of negative feedback loop there. So part of what we can do with healing work, and you know, I think really so beautifully with a mind-body approach, such as somatics or energy healing, or you know, other integrative healing approaches, is that we start to restore the missing ingredient, which is a sense of safety. And that's safety in the environment, and it's also safety relationally. It's safety in connection with others, a sense of belonging, a sense of trust.
That is so powerful because safety is so elemental if you have a predisposition to immediately be in fear and you're not aware of that or working on that or healing that, then your perception of everything is that it's not safe. And then you can't really move forward. But as soon as you bring inner safety in, one of the things that I loved in your book was that you use the 12 steps. And for each of the steps, you have different practices, really great practices around how to work the steps and to integrate into your body these ways of creating that inner safety and releasing the trauma. How did you come up with these practices?
Yeah. So for me, the practices are kind of right at the intersection of somatic psychology, spirituality, and like a kind of mythopoetic understanding of the steps, which is in part comes out of my vocation or my work as a poet and my studies of literature and of depth psychology. So the practices, I wanted to illuminate aspects of the steps that are maybe facets that are less obvious, that are maybe revelatory in a new way, right? Because we go over and over and over the steps, right? If we're in the rooms, we're hearing the steps at most meetings, we're reading the literature, you finish step 12 and you're back at step one, right? So more is revealed every time, right? And I do have a deep sense of the 12 steps as a pretty boundless spiritual path that can bring us very far. And with that, I think for me, it's been important to be committed to unfolding the steps in deeper and deeper ways, right? It wasn't satisfying to just keep kind of reading it at face value. So the practices then emerged a lot out of my own tools that I was just using and kind of wasn't even aware that they were tools, right? They were just like things I was doing. And then as I started working on kind of gathering my writing together and gathering the materials for the book, I was like, oh, maybe this might not be so obvious for other people. And maybe I'll try to fill it out a little bit and, you know, add it to the book as a contribution. So, and there's a lot of somatic lineages and spiritual lineages woven in, right? Like I think what I did was a task of integration and interweaving. The creation of many of these practices and these approaches go back and back, right? And, you know, in spiritual lineage and ancestral lineage, in the lineage of psychologists and somatic healers. So I think it was something of a finding the congruence between the 12-step framework and these other spiritual frameworks.
Yeah, I love that. And I think this is the cool part of what's happening in soul recovery, in this recovery movement that is stepping outside of the rooms and into a more embodied, integrated way that's bringing in all this other stuff. And of course, in those rooms, they need to stay within their circle because it can get too crazy. But that's what I think is so wonderful about all of this. And you have your intro, your foreword is by Rami Shapiro, which is amazing because his book, Recovery, is one of my favorite books and actually is normally what's underneath my microphone to make it have good sound and good juju. So his 12 steps were really that first step out I took of the traditional 12 steps. And there's so many beautiful opportunities to start to see them in a fuller way. So what comes to me to ask is, what was of these steps, what was something that came to you that was a surprise to you in this knowing that was offered to you to start to do this work that is outside of the traditional step work that like really was something that was powerful for you?
Well, so first of all, yeah, I think just to reflect, like, yeah, I'm so, so grateful that Rabbi Rami could write the foreword. And I can't think of a better book to kind of prop up a podcast on recovery, you know, quite literally with your microphone. But his book had a similar impact on me of kind of expansion and deepening, you know, of the 12-step framework in new and beautiful ways. So yeah, I'm super, super grateful to interweave with him. And in terms of, yeah, I think there's so much that unfolded. I guess I would say I could probably answer that question for every step. Because like, as I started writing and working on the practices and kind of doing like a close reading, like as if each step was a poem, you know, really kind of unfolding, not even just the 12-step literature, but like literally the words of the step themselves. For every single one, when I looked at, say, like the etymology of the words, or I looked at the way the step was written and the order of the words, it really, really kind of opened and unfolded. There's a couple things I would say. Spiritual awakening in step 12 took on a deeper meaning for me. In step 12, I explore a lot of the meaning of like awakening. And some of that is, you know, spiritual awakening, as is kind of commonly talked about, right? We kind of step into our spiritual connection, right, by the end of our journey through the steps. But I also explore it in relation to the body, right? Because through these mind-body practices, through somatics as a, you know, as a healing path, as a spiritual path, our bodies awaken, right? We start moving back in, we come back home. You know, right down to our bones, our cells, like we can start to feel the awakening internally. I also talk about awakening as a movement into the depths, like a soul awakening, where we can track our dreaming, pay attention to what is it like to awaken while we're, you know, kind of physically asleep, but alive to all of the imagery and guidance that's coming through in our dreaming. So that unfolded a lot. And then I guess the other one, and this might be like a segue to talking about step four, maybe, you know, thinking about like the fearless and searching moral inventory. And as I stayed with those terms, that also brought a lot of like a kind of a new orientation for me.
If you're ready for soul recovery, as a spiritual coach, I can support your healing to help make real changes that will bring you a life of peace, happiness, connection, and abundance. You can also work in smaller groups by taking a deep dive in a Zoom workshop or with me in person at a retreat or an event. Join others on the soul recovery path once a month for the free Zoom support group or daily on the private Facebook page. Visit the website recoveryoursoul.net to book coaching sessions with me or find all the information you need about soul recovery, dates that are coming up, and how to register for those groups and workshops. To support the podcast and the community, check the links in the show notes to make a small monthly donation or a one-time donation of your choice that will make a huge impact to support this community and the soul recovery mission. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. I've said to people that I work with, I did 9 steps of soul recovery. So I took the 12 steps and I looked at them from what I consider a soul recovery perspective and created these 9 steps, which are still always in little working because the order of the words and exact ways that they're said really are really powerful. And one of the things that was important to me around this 4th and 5th step is, to me, the 4th and 5th step that came from AA came from a very particular time of them working with alcoholics. And for me, in soul recovery, I see it much more encompassing of our metaphysical being and looking at it with a lot more compassion and looking at the patterns and the belief systems that were created. And that's what I loved in reading your book, is I really felt like we were aligning with each other in how we saw that. It can be difficult when you're working on the 12 steps from a codependent spectrum that you can get really marred in the fearless and searching moral inventory, as if there's something wrong with me and I've got to like dig in there and find everything that's wrong with me. And what I loved in your steps was that it was gentle and it had these practices that opened up in a different way. And the 5th step was this more gentle, kinder opportunity to look at yourself that really aligned with what I do in soul recovery. So I'd love for you to talk more about the 4th and 5th step.
Yeah, absolutely. So glad to explore that with you. In terms of the languaging of the fourth step, what staying with those words, searching, fearless and searching, moral inventory, right, was I substitute the word in, you know, in my writing about it. I was kind of sitting with fearless and I'm like, that's a lot of pressure to put on a nervous system that's geared towards, you know, protecting our organism from threat, right? I don't think I can expect myself to do much fearlessly, you know, but can I do it courageously? And to me, that's a really different root etymologically, right? Because courage is about the heart, right? And so if we go to the fourth step as a kind of a heart-filled practice coming from our corazón, right? Our core, right? Here, then, and we turn towards our experience, towards ourselves with that heartfulness, our fourth step inventory reveals a very different story, right? So that was one kind of key term for me. And the other was searching. I thought of it as a kind of like a flashlight, like we turn on that light to search for something that's unseen, right, in the dark. And so with the fourth step, it becomes a kind of turning towards ourselves with heartfulness and with a soft and warm and gentle light that we bring to our kind of hidden places, you know, what had been in shadow, what had been unknown, and we start to illuminate it little by little.
Those are almost my words exactly of how I describe it. I absolutely love that because it is about shining light and loving what's in the light instead of judging it. It's about just opening and seeing what's underneath there that we don't even know is in that structure of our body, in our DNA and our cellular structure that's really running the show. So that literally is almost exactly how I frame it. I love that.
Oh, yeah. How beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And with that, right, the language around resentment looks very different as well. Mm-hmm. You know, right, especially in the big book, the language is all about, like, you know, we list our resentments. And I think when we can turn that light, right, towards ourselves, a resentment is it's not the problem, right? It's not a thing. It's not the thing itself, right? It's a clue that's a kind of key to unlocking something of our own wounds and our own vulnerability, right? So in the somatics of recovery group that I lead, we explored this practice recently, and it was very beautiful to do it on a group level, and the practice is in the book as well to do individually. But it's looking at, okay, like if I have this resentment, or if I did something that is, you know, was kind of wrong, right, off the path, what happens when I turn my awareness back towards myself, right? So, you know, to just kind of make up an example, I can't believe that so-and-so did that thing, right? That all that energy is directed outward. They did something wrong. I'm in resentment, right? And so then it's not about getting rid of the resentment necessarily, right? It's about, what is it touching in me that I'm so much of my own wound is activated? And so when I kind of turn the gaze back on myself and trace it back far enough, I can see, oh, whatever it was that person did, right, touched on my own feeling of not good enough, of unlovable, of feeling abandoned or rejected, right? And soon enough, right, before you know it, it's like we're back at the really, really core early developmental traumas, right? I'm unloved. I don't matter. I don't exist. And I'm alone. And then it's not easy work necessarily, right? Because those are the really vulnerable spaces. But I think if we can do that work and recognize those as really our own wounds, then we can come in with that kind of healing and compassionate embrace of ourselves, mm-hmm. meet what's present with warmth and friendliness. So I would say that for step four. And then I think in terms of step five, I think the promise of it is a reparative attachment experience that we get to bring all of that, all of our deepest fears, all of our deepest wounds to our sponsor, to a fellow, to, you know, whoever we're doing our fifth step work with, and get to be vulnerable with someone who is able to receive us. And I think the promise of the fifth step is that we're seen in our imperfectness, right? We're seen in our vulnerability, and we're met there. And I think for many of us with that really, really trauma, these are new experiences, and it's a big part of building that inner felt sense of safety relationally.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I just feel that when we come from the fourth step, the inventory, from that compassionate place, from that tenderness to ourself, it opens up the ability to really let the fifth step, the sharing of our story, to be a complete release, to be an allowance of our bodies to really, really let it go. What is your experience around using these steps individually and in groups? Because it sounds like you have groups. Is it something that you can do with others? Is it something that you see as a solo journey?
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, important when possible to do with others. I think my vision for the book would be that it can be a kind of guide and a fellow traveler, like a companion for people who are doing it alone or who need to bring in this part, you know, on their own, and that I can be just like as a kind of, you know, fellow on the path with them, or, you know, writerly voice that's a friendly and, you know, empathic one. You know, as I was saying, like, I really think the 12 steps offer this potential for learning healthy relationship, right? Learning that we can turn to others to ask for help, learning that when we reach out, we're going to be met. Someone's going to be there responding, learning it's okay to be vulnerable, to cry, to be angry, you know, to be fearful, all these things that many of us feel like we need to hide from the world, and we get to be seen. And I think that's a tremendous, tremendous gift. And what people find in the rooms often, right? And you get to share your story and people listen and they nod and you're not alone, right? It's kind of being held like in a big, like, nurturing community, really, you know? And so I think it works. You know, I'm really excited about the Somatics of Recovery group that I'm doing at the moment, and we'll be doing another round in the next few months when this one wraps up, because there's just something so potent about group energy. I think it's like all of the work that we're each doing individually is almost like kind of potentiated and just grows exponentially. And we get to witness each other, and we get to hear our stories spoken by others, and we get to learn and expand in relation to each other's experiences. And it's really powerful. Sometimes I just feel very humbled by what comes in, very touched, very kind of in so much reverence of the wisdom that people are carrying and the wisdom their bodies are carrying. And then I think just the last aspect of that, doing somatic practices in a group is also really powerful, because part of what we get to do is we get to mirror each other, right? We get to all be together, and we're all putting our hands on our hearts, right? And then I'm having my heart experience and you're having your heart experience, and our hearts are also resonating with each other. So we're in that kind of shared life force, that shared kind of field together.
Yeah, I agree. I think that one of the greatest gifts that I've had in my life and my recovery is finding others who are on the same path and just being so held and witnessed in ways that I was so searching for in all of my addictive behaviors. As soon as you really let go of control and surrender and start doing the work, it's like, then they come, then there it is. It all comes together. That's amazing. I'm so excited for you. I really encourage anybody who's listening to get the book. It just came out this week. You said it finally got released this week. So it's available, and there'll be links in the show notes for it as well. What would you like to offer sort of for your last words in terms of, for especially the codependent community, healing community that tends to come to Recover Your Soul? How has this helped you in that part of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think bringing in like the trauma sensitive framework and framework based in attachment theory, which is kind of often interwoven very deeply in somatic healing modalities, is to me a very important kind of complement or a deepening or addition to the 12-step language around codependency. Because I think the word codependency can sometimes, for me at least, it can have somewhat of like a judgmental connotation, I think, when people use it. Like, it's very dismissive. And sometimes, though I imagine maybe for some people it's helpful to find that language, right? To find Codependent No More, or find those books, right? They finally give language to a kind of constellation of patterns, right? But what I like, what comes from a, you know, attachment-based framework or a trauma-sensitive framework, is that our relational patterns are survival strategies, our attempts to get our needs met, and some of those were really necessary, kind of really kept us alive, right? At certain phases, right? Like for people growing up in chaotic or dysfunctional or, you know, alcoholic homes, the, say, capacity, right, to be endearing, to people please, to watch out for other people's feelings, that's a matter of life or death, right? And that keeps you going. All of it, right? The shame that we take on, which is one of like the, you know, kind of major hallmarks of developmental trauma, you know, that was also really a survival strategy. That was kind of designed, you know, one of the ways it kind of works in us, right, is it makes it our fault, right? But it allows us to kind of maintain a fantasy that our caregivers had it all together, right? And if only I was good enough and was worthy of their love, they would love me, rather than really seeing and accepting, which we can generally only do, if ever, right, much, much later, like in adulthood, really seeing they're so human, that our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents were carrying their trauma imprints and passing those imprints on from generation to generation, and may have been unable to meet us in those core ways that we needed and wanted at that time, right? And so all of these strategies are protective. They helped us cope. They helped us survive. They helped us see only what we were capable of seeing. And so I think bringing an intentionality around meeting those needs now is really important. Like, can we in recovery come to have a vision of what a healthy relationship is, where there's trust, where there's consistency, where there's a kind of baseline level of security, where there's healthy boundaries, right? Where there's clear communication, where there's praise and acknowledgement and celebration of who we are, right? And so new possibilities, new visions, I think, start emerging.
Yeah, I love all that. There's so many things to talk about and all that, but I think that this is the foundational piece of our letting go of all those old traumas and beliefs. And we have to give ourselves credit that here we are, we're interested now at this time in our life, and to be gentle to so many of us, say, man, if I could have done this when I was younger, well, we were in it when we were younger. That's how it goes. So here we are today working on it and seeing it and having the capacity to hold it all and release it and be kind to ourselves and change those old patterns and move into a new way of being that is indeed breaking the pain from the past and opening up potential in the future for other generations. It's really powerful. We're so aligned. I just love it. And I am so grateful for your wisdom and your knowledge and just sharing all of it. And I've been incorporating some of these into my own writing and movement. And I am so grateful for you being here sharing with me today. If anybody wants to get in touch with you or look you up, what is your social media or your website information?
Sure. Yeah. So my website is ninapick.com, and my Instagram is Nina Illumina, one word, N-I-N-A-I-L-U-M-I-N-A. And yeah, really so grateful to be here. Also really feel that deep alignment. And yeah, excited to hear from listeners. Please do reach out. As I mentioned earlier, I'll be starting another round of the Somatics of Recovery online class, probably around in December, January. Yeah, really excited to invite people into that kind of gathering. Yeah, so please stay in touch.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm excited for you and your journey and bringing this to the world. Until next time, namaste. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Recovery Soul Podcast and being part of this amazing and growing community. If you loved this episode and you want even more, there is a bonus episode with even more content every Friday. This is by subscription. You can access that by being a Patreon member, and there's 3 tiers of giving of your choice, or an Apple Podcast subscriber. Once you have subscribed, you have access to a whole back catalog of episodes as well. If you would go to the website, recoveryoursoul.net, and I would love for you to subscribe to email updates so that you can keep posted with everything that's going on, different events, what dates are coming up, any reminders. There's only a couple emails each month. I hope you follow Recover Your Soul on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, the private Facebook community page, TikTok, and if you want guided meditations, look for Reverend Rachel Harrison on Insight Timer. I really encourage you to take advantage of the one-on-one coaching. This is a unique, intuitive connection between the two of us. There are 9 steps to soul recovery, and I do use those 9 steps to loosely guide us through whatever your coaching that you need. But really, it's about creating a way for you to feel comfortable around your healing of your past, looking at the situations in your life. What are the patterns? What are the beliefs that are holding you back? Breaking free from those patterns, breaking free from those beliefs, letting go of control, letting go of the people around you, and taking your power back. Discovering who you are and who you want to be in the world and how I can support you to do this. And also, you're sharing this podcast with your friends, putting 5 stars, leaving reviews, really sharing this with others is growing the community. Thank you for being part of this community. Thank you for supporting Recover Your Soul. And I know that together we can do the work that will recover your soul. The Recover Your Soul podcast and its content is for educational purposes only and is not allied or representative of any organizations or religions. It's based on the opinions and experience of Reverend Rachel Harrison. Recover Your Soul claims no responsibility to any persons or entity for any liability, loss, damage, or cause alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of its use. Applications or interpretations of the information represented herein. Take what you need and leave the rest.